Some of you know in 777, something very big happened. James and a lot of the leaders in the city was a part of over at the football stadium. And we filled that place for worship and prayer. A lot of people marching, coming together in one voice. Out of that came Worship City Alliance, if you didn't know. Started meeting every month, encouraging leaders to come together to know each other's heart. We're so busy. We're going so many ways. And we've got an assignment for our city, but we really need for an hour or an hour and a half a month just to look in each other's eyes and say, I'm for you. I remember the first time I met Alex. Do you remember Alex? I hope she doesn't mind telling you this, but when I saw her, something leaped inside of me. And I knew what she was about to encounter in a city that's known for misogyny, and of course the whole area. And I just said to her, I said, Alex, I got your back. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to fight this spirit that would not want you to be a senior pastor in our city. I believe in you, and I'm going to stand with you. And I really think that's got to be said. Because, you know, even James has got a seminar coming up here at the end of the month. Women of God, arise. Boy, that's a timely word as we start this year. So if you've not been on our email list, please pass this around as well. This is just to help you, just give it around to everyone, just to know up the events that are coming in the next year. You know, every couple of weeks we'll put something out, advertising James's event. It's online. Maybe you didn't know that. But if you'll sign up, if you're not getting that, it's free. There's no obligation. Again, the intention of WCA is unifying, communication, loving one another, making connection, and hearing the heart of God from many leaders that we've had. R.T. Kendall spoke here. Can you believe it? This man's the busiest guy in the world, and he came all the way down from Hendersonville to speak. And our last WCA, RT, it's good to see you today. If you have noticed in your seat, Worship City Alliance, we believe in prayer. And prayer is what's going to change things. And so every week we have a church that we emphasize, take this, put in your Bible. And if you know a church that needs some serious prayer, transitions going on, whatever, let us know so we can put it on our prayer shield. It'll be very important to do that. And we thank you for your support for Worship City Alliance. It is tax exempt under the Artists and Christian Testimony banner. So anything you give will be tax exempt if you want to share in your finances and help us keep going in this new year. I want to just honor my staff, my leadership team that's here. Karen's with us. Karen Stan, Mark Lancaster, Karen, Mark, who else is here? Phil's here. Come on up. Phil, who else? Oh, Rob's here. Come on, Rob. Guys, thank you so much. Pray for them because they speak into the life of this fellowship. And if you can't get to me directly, which is impossible because you can, but you can get in touch with them and let them know things that you feel in your heart for the city. Well, I don't want to take much longer because it's important we give Alex the time she needs. I want, in a moment, James to come up and actually introduce her and pray over her. And I feel like she has a word from the Lord. When I asked her to come and speak, I said, Pastor Alex, I really believe that you have a word for us that will encourage us in this new season. And she was so gracious to say, yeah, I'll come. I really think God gave me something. And it's an amazing thing that God's trying to do through all the churches in the area. And God's really got his hand on the Belonging Company. I'll just tell you this. They meet four times on a weekend. So that's a lot of work right there. But if you ever really need a little extra conviction under the Holy Spirit or a little retuning, you'll put us under the seat, I know, because every time I come, she does. I really honor this woman who knows the Word of God. And she is a delight to us. It was such a time as this, Alex. James, would you come and introduce Pastor Alex Seeley to us?
Hey, I think most of you here know from my background and testimony is that my late wife at one point in time had a doily on her head and wore a hat or something just to even be in public and pray with me. And then we went through a radical transformation in theology and in practice. Now that is 30 years ago we went through this. Where eventually then, not only did it change our relationship, but it changed my understanding of Scripture. And these things happen, right? And so eventually I became a cheerleader and a coach for women in ministry and women in leadership. And so when I heard that Henry and Alex Seeley came from Australia to Nashville, I'd heard a rumor of it, to be honest. I took it in prayer, and I had an encounter with the Lord. And I will do this very briefly. But in this encounter, the Lord spoke to me what city that they came from, what city that they did ministry in, showed me some details about their life. But one of the main things was this. He told me that they were not called here just to build another church. Excuse me, guys, Nashville doesn't need just another church. That is not what we need. I felt the Holy Spirit was speaking to me that the finger of God was going to come down in a place called Rocket Town. And that there was going to be a movement of the Holy Spirit that would be started in this city. By saying that, I am not at all saying that there isn't, that every work doesn't count and every work is important, because they all are, right? Or we wouldn't come together like this, or Acts 13, or the many other expressions that happen here in this city. But I felt a challenge from the Lord for myself to give up what I knew in my own personal background and to be a part of something that I didn't know. This is an introduction that is about Alex, but this introduction involves me. And so I had a choice to give up that which was familiar to become a part of something that I did not know. We all have crossroads in our lives. See, I'm speaking to you as leaders. Many of you, you know my journey. We each have crossroads in our lives. And when we hit those, sometimes we have to die to the reputation that we have already established in order to, in a way, start over. Now, we never start all over. But yet, we have an opportunity to build, learn all over again. It has been my delight over the last 4 years to be attending the Belonging. I am a local church man. A lot of people who do what I do, they quite frankly are not a part of local churches. I could list their names and many famous people, and they are not a part of a local church. I do not believe that that's proper. I don't believe that that is good role modeling. And I have been a part of a local church all of my life. I want you to know this. It is one of my honors and my privileges to attend the Belonging, to be an intercessor for Alex and Henry Seeley. They came here giving up quite a reputation. Henry as a world-class producer and worship leader, helping shape the sound of Planet Shakers in Melbourne, Australia. Alex was the executive pastor of this 10,000 people church. Folks, I didn't know this. All the Lord told me was, hey, there's this couple coming. I want you to join yourself to them, because they're not about just building a new church. They're about helping create a movement and will help be an answer to 30 years of prayer that have been arising in this city. So, this lady preaches the way I believe. I see more people come to Jesus at this work than I have seen at any local church in over 30 years. Why? It's because it is presence-saturated worship. It is the uncompromised word. It is leadership who walks what they talk. And for some reason, God has chosen several leaders from Australia to come be missionaries in Nashville, Tennessee. And so I want you to welcome a flaming truth bearer who is a revivalist. Is she a prophet, an apostle, a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist? I frankly, let's just say, she's sent from God. She's a revivalist and her husband, and they have not come here to help things stay the same. They have been brought here to encourage us and to help change the equilibrium of the church in Nashville, Tennessee, and beyond. Would you welcome my friend and pastor, Alex Seeley?
Wow. I've never received such a kind introduction, and I'm very humbled by it. I'm actually very humbled to be here. I need you to know that. I feel like the new kid on the block, and I know that you guys have labored and served this city in ways that I get to enjoy a lot of the labor and a lot of the toil. And I don't take that for granted, and I don't take that lightly in being in this company of men and women. And so I want to thank you for those of you that have been here for a long season in the spirit. And so don't ever be discouraged that the work we do, because it's kingdom work and it's not belonging to us. It's God's work and it's not ours. And that's why we can never get proud and we can never think it's us. It's not us. God would move in spite of us. I just think he likes to work with us. And I'm humbled beyond measure to be here. I love Pastor James very much. I call him Pastor James because I like to honor him. But honestly, I remember the first time we met that he just literally read our mail. And it was very, again, a humbling thing to know that what God was doing through us was, like you said, it's not another church, because, guys, we wrestled. We did not want to serve in that capacity. We were actually moving to America to get away from vocational ministry. And God had a way with me. And I'm actually going to speak a little bit about that today, because I so believe that James was on point. And sometimes we have to begin again. I think we can never think that we've arrived anywhere, because we really haven't, because we're going to get before the throne room of God and realize we're just a speck of dust in the midst of his grandeur. So who are we? Who are we to say what we've done? We've done nothing. We are nothing without him. And so he's so grand. And so thank you, Jerry, for inviting me, Pastor Jerry. You really did. We're one of those first in few that would just come and commission. It was very daunting. I remember asking the Lord, why on earth would you send me here to Nashville, Tennessee? Every church, I went to 21 churches to visit, to plant somewhere, because I'm the same. I'm a local church girl, and I just couldn't find a place that resonated in my spirit. They were all good works, but I am a Holy Spirit girl, and I'm a fire girl, and I'm a word girl, and I have to have the three elements in a church, and it has to be powerful worship, a powerful truth word, and a great community. And I could find one in churches, but I couldn't find all three. And I don't say that arrogantly, but I couldn't. I just couldn't. But I think God was keeping me blinded, because he knew what we had to do. Because if I had found it, we would have planted and served that place because we believe in it. But we went to 21 churches, and God was like, nope, this is not what I have you doing. You know, I just need you to love people. And I was like, ah. And anyway, we didn't want to do the belonging, but the belonging found us. And, you know, sometimes you just got to follow where God's leading. And so we do not ever think that we know what we're doing, because we don't. But God does, and we're just really obedient, and we're just ourselves. And I think when you just let him have his way, people want the real Jesus, right? Okay, well, let's pray, and I'm just going to bring a word and see what God does, hey? God, I thank you. I thank you that your word is alive. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides between soul and spirit, joint and marrow, God, and it judges the attitudes of our heart. So God, today I pray that you go right into that joint and marrow of our heart, that you would divide the finest thing that you need to find. Sometimes we overlook what is microscopic. So God, I pray today that you would be laser sharp with these men and women who serve you faithfully, who have taken up the call to follow you, God. I pray that you would take all of us to a new level as we enter into 2019, this year of harvest, this year of awakening, and this year of purposed prayer like never before. God, I declare that from this moment on, we would never be the same, that we would become undone in your presence, that we, as the forefront of these ministries that we serve, that we would be the first to be bowed on our faces before you, getting from you the direct throne room of heaven, the strategy and the keys of heaven, not great ideas, not good ideas that we ask you to anoint, but your revelation and purpose in our churches. And so God, I pray that this word would light a fire in each and every one of us, God, to ignite us to become undone, because it's when we're undone, God, that you move in the greatest place. And that's really what I want to speak about today, because I believe that God is calling us constantly. It's not a annual thing, a biannual thing, a decade thing, a millennial thing, but we must become undone momentarily, daily, weekly, monthly. Like, we cannot afford to not become undone. And the Lord has really been speaking to me about this generation and this church, the global church at large, and I really believe that we're walking into territory where the church is blurring the lines and making them a little grey. Making them a little grey to appease the congregation. See, it's one thing I will never do, because I've got to stand before a righteous judge one day, and he's going to say, what on earth did you preach? What did you say? Did you not love those people enough to not give them the truth? Were you more concerned with what they thought about you than what they think about me? And I remember getting this place where people would, you know, leave because, oh, Pastor Alex is too hard. Pastor Alex is too forthright. She's too, well, you know what? I would rather be, and it's not that I'm hard, because I think I'm coated in love, but it's because the truth does divide, and it is going to divide. But Jesus never compromised the truth, even though he loved others more than we'll ever be able to love others. He loved people, but he never compromised truth. And I believe that God's calling us to be an uncompromising church, and I believe that we're to be a holy remnant. I really believe that we're called, that there is becoming a season, that we are becoming a remnant. It is not the majority. It's actually a remnant. You know, I'm not here to be the popular celebrity pastor. I don't believe in that. I believe that we're here to serve, not be served. I believe that we're here as a calling, and it's by that unction of the Holy Spirit that he calls us and he asks us to deliver the word. And there is going to be a remnant, this small remaining quantity of something. Those that are faithful to his original truth despite apostasy and opposition. Despite that, will we remain? Will we remain true? And I believe that there's just too much going on and too much at stake. But I felt like God spoke especially to me this year about the word awakened. To awaken the body to understanding the truth and the revelation of who God is and who they are in Christ, an awakening in prayer, an awakening in purpose, an awakening in dreams, an awakening in destiny, and not our dreams, but God's dream for the church. Not our, you know, desires, but God's understanding of what that looks like. And I'm telling you, it's opposite to what the world deems as successful. When we were brought into our little basement, there were like seven people. And I remember getting this full revelation that God said, if I've called you to these seven people, you steward them so well. If that was all my mission was, for you to steward seven people, do you realize that is just as important as if I got you to steward 70,000 people? We get this context that, oh, well, if you've got a church of 10,000 or 5,000 or 15,000, that you're successful. But I beg to differ. What is the fruit like within those churches? What is the fruit of the people? Are they going to heaven? Are they full of the Spirit of God? Are their lives progressing? Because you can have a crowd, but Jesus had very few disciples. Crowds came and went. And if Jesus was determined in this day and age, he wouldn't be determined a successful leader. He wouldn't. Because a lot went in hiding. A lot moved away. A lot. He even looked to his own disciples and said, are you going to go too? Are you going to go too? He wouldn't have been deemed successful in the practical sense. But oh, he was, because he did exactly what God asked him to do. And I want us to read from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, if you have your Bibles. It says, here in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted. I know you know this scripture, but it's good to read it. Seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then the one seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he'd taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. I believe that this is an incredible passage of scripture, because how many know, I don't need to school you guys, because you probably know more about theology and the Bible than I could ever dream to. But all I know is that Isaiah was a prophet of God. And yet this happened in chapter 6. He was a prophet to the nation. He was a prophet appointed by God, yet in chapter 6 he has an encounter with Jesus. He has an encounter with the Lord, the King of Kings, that marks him. And God actually commissions him to do something that was not popular and was not fame worthy and was not likable. He was a prophet that people were never, ever perceiving, never hearing, never understanding. They turned their ears. They shut their eyes. The eyes of their heart were shut, yet Isaiah was called to speak the word of truth, no matter who turned to God. And in his 52 years of prophesying and declaring the word of the Lord, hardly anyone turned to God. Imagine that. Is that successful? You see, I think we've got it all wrong. We want to see results now. We want to see this now. But God's saying, I've got an eternity to reveal. You just need to obey my word. And this is what I love, is that it's a very important part that it starts off saying, in the year King Uzziah died. Why is it important that it was in the year that King Uzziah died? Was he just marking a time in history? Well, I believe that King Uzziah was someone Isaiah actually looked up to. There was a reverence to him. There was an honor to King Uzziah. King Uzziah was one of the greatest kings. He brought Israel into prosperity with so many things. He turned things around. People began to worship. We all know that he was an incredible king. Yet what happened with King Uzziah is he got a little proud. He became a little familiar with his position. King Uzziah was a king, he was not a priest, and he dared to go into the Holy of Holies and act in a priestly capacity when it was never his office. His office was to be king, and here he is going in and doing priestly things. And so God strikes him with leprosy, and God's like, what is going on, Uzziah? He didn't end well. And I don't care how much you have done in your life. I don't care how successful you are. I don't care if you've brought a million people to Christ. You are not all that and a bag of chips. You're just not. And we get familiar when we start to have accolades under our belt and we go, look at what I have done. And please, men and women of God, let us never fall into the trap of leaving our post and becoming familiar with the Holy of Holies. Becoming familiar with the sanctuary of the holiness of God, because we are just saved by grace and entering in because of what Jesus Christ has done, not by our own works so that we cannot boast, but yet we become like that. And I'm having to do heart checks on a daily basis, guys. I do heart checks on a daily basis because none of this is possible without Jesus Christ. None of it. None of it. And there was a moment where King Uzziah had to die, because it's almost like Isaiah looked to Uzziah for all the accomplishments, everything that they did, and God had to remove that person so that he could see the Lord clearly. Sometimes God has to remove something from us so that we get to see God clearly. Sometimes there is something standing in the way of us in an encounter with God. I don't know what your Uzziah is, but see, I had an Uzziah in my life where I had past leaders who, you know, when you're a young person and you get raised up under the wing of a mentor, they become like the voice of God to you, right? And I had two wonderful leaders that taught me everything that I know. But they'd become an Uzziah in my life. We were successful in man's eyes. We'd grown churches, the church to 10,000 people. We'd have a youth conference that went around Australia that was over 20,000 people every year. We toured the nations, Asia and America and all these places with the worship. And God was doing incredible things. And these people were the spearhead. And they were like my Uzziah. They were killing it at the game, doing it so great. All the fruit was revealed. And so they were my Uzziah. And I remember when God brought me here, there was a season of a death. It was like God had to take me through this death. And this is when this scripture came so alive to me. And it was when a lady actually had a prophetic word for me, and she said, I had a dream about you, and there was this millstone around your neck. And she goes, and a millstone is used for sharpening. It's a sharpening tool. And what had happened is someone had put it around your neck, and there was a usefulness to it to sharpen you. But what had happened is that now millstone should have been taken off at an appointed time, but it lingered far too long, and now it became a weight. And that weight has now pulled you down and it's become a heavy burden. But I watched you in prayer and intercession. You grabbed that millstone and you threw it and you smashed it. But what happened was you raised your hand up in this vision that she had, and one of the pieces was like a ring, and it went on my wedding finger. And she goes, and I don't know what that means, but it didn't feel right in the vision. She goes, I need you to inquire of the Lord. I'm like, gee, thanks. Now I've got to inquire of the Lord, what does that mean? And I remember going in my prayer closet, and it was in Nashville, Tennessee, in the first few months that we were here, and disillusioned, didn't know why we were here, what God was doing. And he said, that ring represents the wrong covenant that you made with a man-made leader. They became the voice of God to you, and I'm a jealous God, and I need to be the voice, the only voice. He goes, so I need you to come out of covenant, because I had cut a covenant in my heart that I would serve them, hear from them, listen to them, that they, you know, that their yes was my yes, their no was my no. And I took that ring off, and this actually took my actual rings off. I was like, Henry, this is not about cutting away covenant with you. but I took, as a physical manifestation, I just took my ring off and I placed it there and I said, God, I repent that I placed that man and that woman in your place. I've always loved you, I've always served you, but yet that needed to die so that I could see you clearly, so that I could see and encounter you. And I'm telling you guys, I had an encounter with Holy God on my carpet, in my prayer room, like I have never had before. And I'm telling you, the belonging was birthed out of revelation, not a good idea. And forgive me if I sound arrogant right now, but it was not a startup model of getting my ABCs of how to plant a church. Can we please get rid of the man-made ideas and get on our faces before God to get the strategy that comes from the throne room? Because all the while we're copying this and we're copying that, we need to kill the Uzziah in our lives so that we can see the Lord. Oh, we're not seeing the Lord enough. We're seeing what X is doing and what Y is doing and what A is doing. And God said, I didn't call you to do that. I need you to have your own blueprint. The belonging is not in competition with anybody. We're just obeying the voice of God. And we celebrate every other person. But my God, do not follow a person or a strategy or a model, because that is not God's will for your life. Because God needs to get you in that place where you see Jesus for yourself. Because when you are marked by an encounter with God, that's where you take your people with you. And so you can only take people where you've gone. You can't take people by theory. You can't just go, oh, well, you know, so-and-so did it back in the day. No, you have to go through it. You have to encounter the Lord. And when Isaiah died, he said, I saw the Lord. I mean, Isaiah saw Jesus, guys. Jesus hadn't walked the earth yet. Jesus hadn't been revealed in humanity. He saw Jesus, and it says that because John states that. He saw Jesus. Jesus. He got saved in that moment and he was a prophet. His sins were cleansed. And the thing about an encounter with God, it will always make you look within and see what is really there. It's like a mirror that you cannot escape from, but you look and you go, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm a woman who is not worthy, God. I'm a woman that you shouldn't be picking me, but God, I just come and I surrender to you. See, an encounter with God shouldn't puff you up. An encounter with God should take you to the humblest place. A humility that takes you out and says, not my will but yours, God. A humility that says, I can't afford to not obey you because you have just wrecked me in this place. I feel his presence right now. Why? Because he so longs to wreck you. He so longs to reveal himself to you. Oh, that we would not be full of knowledge and not encounter his presence. Oh, that we would not be somebody with a title that becomes familiar. Oh, that we would not be a person that just because we've got some sort of earthly success that we think we've arrived. Oh, that we would come before the throne room of God and say, I see you, Jesus. I see you, Jesus. So there became a moment of, I'm a man of unclean lips. And I'm surrounded by people that have unclean lips. See, sometimes, just like that frog in a pot of water that slowly gets hotter and hotter, they don't even realize because they've acclimated. I believe we need to be careful as leaders that we acclimate to cynicism, criticism, jealousy, envy, pride. It actually encroaches on us on a very, very subtle level, and I watch what comes out of my mouth, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I know when I have left my post. I know, because I go, oh, that wasn't kind. That was ugly. That was prideful. That was cheap. That was not God. And so you have to come back and go into that place. My husband, we've been married 20 years now, and there have been seasons in our life where he'll literally look at me and say, I need you to go and get saved again. And so I go into my prayer closet and I repent. And I love that he does that, because he loves me so much, because he goes, that mouth, what's coming out is dirty. And that doesn't come from a redeemed space. So go and renew. Go and renew. And I think sometimes we can get a little bit religious and think that we're a little bit exempt because the gifts of God are given to us without repentance. So you can still minister in your gift and be rotten on the inside. You can still have a great ministry with really good, you know, power. But I have to always think about that moment when I have to stand before God and realize, is he going to put the x-ray over me, and is it going to come clean? The x-ray is going to go, oh, I'm going to get the MRI by God. And even the slightest lump, he'll detect. You see, you can't tell when someone's got a tumor. On the outside, I'm looking good, everything's great. But you get that MRI and it spots even the tiniest little blemish or mass. You see, I'm after that because I believe that when you are clean on the inside, who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Those with clean hands and a pure heart. You see, Isaiah was getting purified. He was getting cleansed so that he could then bring the word to a nation that, even though hardly any returned, he stayed true to his post. Imagine that, guys. Imagine you preaching for 50 years and everybody rejecting what you said. But you see, when he gets, you know, you look at the book of Isaiah and every prophecy is like on point. I mean, I don't even think he lived, you theologians, we were to tell you, he got to live to see any of them fulfilled. But he spoke them. He stayed true. And I believe that's what God is calling us as a church, is to get in the presence of Almighty God, to kill that Uzziah in our life. I don't know what that Uzziah is. Maybe it's a person. It's that person that obstructs. You know, God spoke to Moses and says, take his shoes off, because where you're standing is holy ground. I actually believe that God doesn't want anything man-made touching his holy place. Those shoes were man-made. Take them off. It needs to just be the rawness of you and me. Take them off. Be cleansed. Let me get a coal and burn. So you're marked for life, that you will always remember, I must speak the truth. I must be clean. See, I think God is wanting to cleanse us and purify us, to take us to the next level, because we have a generation, church, that are dying and going to hell. They're like so wishy-washy right now that we believe the grey, and we believe that, well, I just love everybody. This revolution of love with no consequence and no meter. There's no such thing as that. The love of God demanded a death and blood that was shed, and the cross demands change. The cross doesn't just expect everybody to come on in. It demands change. Jesus did not die so that we could just all feel love. He died so that we would be made righteous and holy in the sight of God. And if we're not preaching that, if we're not teaching that, and guess what? If we're not living it, we ain't going to be taking anyone with us. And so we have to be living holy. We have to. And I'm telling you, if there is things struggling right now in your life, I think you need to go into your prayer closet and go, all right, God, what is my Uzziah? And does that have to die today so that I can see the Lord? And when you do see the Lord, I'm telling you, he will x-ray, and it's up to you whether you're willing to actually go there. And this is one thing that I have learned as a key thing in my leadership is I'm so sick and tired of hearing people trying to be authentic. Don't say you're authentic, please. That already, it negates your authenticity. Don't say it. I'm just being authentic. Well, no, you're not. You're trying to be something. You see, when I have walk in a room, I don't have to give you my resume. I let other people talk about me. Right? Authenticity is what a generation is looking for, and authenticity comes through transparency. And so when you can get up as a leader and actually talk about, not air your laundry and, you know, go through the process in front of your congregation, no, but after the fact, you must. You have a requirement, because I love that Isaiah writes in there, I am a man of unclean lips. He could have left that line out and just said, I had an encounter with God. Are you ready to actually get transparent with your congregation? Because the reason why I believe our congregation gets down and gets in is because they see pastors that will get up there first and say, hey, it's okay. Been there, done that. In fact, last week, had a really stinky attitude. But I don't live there. I repent and we move on. You see, people need to see, because no one's arrived. Please don't ever think we have arrived. I know that you guys don't, but we haven't arrived. We're going from glory to glory. We're moving in realms where people have to feel it and see it. And this millennial generation are so switched on with what is true and what is not that they may not tell you to your face, but they won't come back. Because they want to see, is Jesus the real Jesus? Is Jesus who he says he is? Can Jesus really heal and take away depression and anxiety? Can he really heal cancer? Can he really deliver me from oppression? Can he really deliver me from my addiction? Yes. But we've got to take them there. Amen. And he saw what he was born to do. Whom shall I send? I think God is asking us today, who can I send? You know, when I didn't want to be a pastor again. I was very hurt by the church, as we all have been. But so was Jesus. So I remember just going, I think the church is broken. I actually think the church is broken. I remember 2012 just sitting in my bed going, I think it's broken. And I think that man has stuffed it up big time. And I don't like it, God. I don't like the state of the church. And I'll never forget. It was as clear as a bell. It wasn't audible, but it felt audible. And I felt God say, Alex, do not hate my bride. It's not your job to hate the bride. Your job is to be the bride I'm coming back for. Stop looking at the others and picking out the big logs in everybody else's church eyes. You just focus on being the bride that I'm coming back for. And I remember just going into that, again, that prayer closet. I'm telling you guys, we have to pray more than we've ever prayed before. Not just for things, but for us. And I just got behind that moment of just laying prostrate. And God said, will you go for me again? Will you begin again? And I said, God, it's costly. It's a thankless job. I'm tired of doing the impossible for the ungrateful. I'm tired. And then God was like, oh, so you're doing it. You're doing it. And I said, well, it feels like it. He says, why don't you just do things my way? I said, all right, you got a deal. I said, so pressure's off. You build this thing, because I never asked for it. I don't want it. But today I humble myself and I obey. My husband is not a senior pastor, guys. It's not his primary gifting. He's an incredible musician and singer and songwriter. And we often wondered why God called the two of us crazy cats into this area of leadership. But you know what I believe? I believe God's wanting the reluctant leader that gets out the way and makes a way for the Holy Spirit to move. Because I don't really like the sound of my own voice. I just want Jesus' presence. I just want every head bowed, every eye closed, because I just feel to finish right now and ask God to do some things. But I actually believe in these last few minutes that we've got together, I just want you to close your eyes. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to just, maybe he already has, quickened an area in your life of what that Uzziah is. Maybe it's a voice of reason. Maybe it's a roadblock of pride. Maybe it's a familiarity. Maybe it's cynicism. Maybe it's criticism. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's an unresolved, unforgiving heart. Maybe it's a wound that you will not let go, but it is the roadblock between you seeing God in his fullness, like that vision of the train of his robe filling the temple. I mean, I can't even imagine what that moment must have been like for Isaiah, but the glory of the Lord filled his mind, soul, body, spirit, that he became undone in his presence. And then the angel, the cherubim, came and couldn't even touch the coal from that altar and came and burnt. There was pain involved. There was a cost involved for purity and holiness. But all the results, the results, the results, and God's saying, would you remove that which is obstructing? When was the last time you had a vivid encounter with God? When was the last time that you got a strategy that came from the throne room of heaven and not from Google? When did you just get in amongst that place to say, God, this doesn't make sense, starting a church on a Tuesday night with a bunch of musicians? But you see, it was God's idea. It was God. God didn't care what other people were going to say. Oh, there was criticisms. Oh, there was things. But you see, when you've had an encounter with God, you don't care about the opinion of man anymore. You just do what God asks you to do. And then people ask, well, how did you do that? Well, I obeyed God in the secret place. And I want every single one of you, if you are wanting that space in 2019 where we become undone, not even just for the sake of our people, but for the sake of ourselves, to go to a new level, because maybe God is asking you to do something that is unpopular, that is unfamiliar. That I love that James came into a place where he has been known and loved and served for years, but he's humbled himself to come into the unfamiliar. And I tell you, James, the latter years, you think they're finished. No, 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 no. They're going to be greater than your former because of the humility. And see, we just have to learn that to begin again doesn't mean we start over from zero, because I remember being 40 and thinking, what on earth am I doing starting again? But I'm sure God's going to call me at 50 and 60 and 70 to start again. And I never want to be too proud to start again and go low in the kingdom of God and go low in the presence of God, because without him we're nothing. And if you want a new encounter for 2019, I want you to stand to your feet and begin to call on Almighty God right now. Father God, we call upon you right now in the name of Jesus. We want to be a people, God, especially us, that lead other people, God, that we would go before your throne room and we would hunger after your presence like never before. God, I pray 2019 is the year of an awakening that takes place, that actually shifts culture, that we're not doing the same things things we did the last year and the year before that and the year before that. But God, we want the new wineskin. We want the new thing. In the name of Jesus, we need to perceive it through revelation and understanding. God, I pray that we would begin to hunger after you in our private closets, that we would begin to pray and seek your face. God, that we would humble ourselves and realize that we may not have all the answers, but that's okay because you have all the answers. God, I pray for an encounter so profound in this city that we would see a move of God from epic proportions. God, I pray that there would be addictions that literally fall off when people walk through threshold doors of churches. God, that we would be presence carriers, that we would be truth tellers, that we would be mighty in doing what you have asked us to do, no matter if it doesn't make sense. God, we position ourselves and we humble ourselves and say, God, whatever it takes, we will follow you because you told, Joshua to walk around Jericho and then shout, what a strange request. Yet your requests are always contrary to the natural. So God, maybe that's the key this year. Maybe the key is the more absurd it is, the more you it is. God, the more crazy it is, the more you it is. God, that we would not fall short of doing things because we've seen the Uzziahs do it and were successful at that. All the people that had gone before us. But God, that we would be like Isaiah, who began again in that place and was marked by God in such a way, that he spoke the truth and became the holy remnant. God, I thank God for every man and woman that has gone before us and remained true to your truth, and that there has always been a fine remnant from the beginning of time. And God, I just believe it's even going to get tighter and tighter and more prominent of who that remnant is. But God, you called us to be a royal and a holy priesthood. God, I declare that from this place, the churches of Nashville, Tennessee would breathe a new fire. God, that there would be a new hunger within us to see a move, not just a good congregation, but a movement. You see, movements change culture. Movements need to be talked about. Movements are things that aren't contained. We need to hold our people loosely. They are not ours to possess. They are ours to steward. And when you let go and let God, it doesn't matter who comes in or who goes out for a season, because we're just called to steward those that God entrusts to us. God will take care of the finances. God will take care of the people. God will bring in those workers that need to reap the harvest with you. But all that we would steward people loosely, that we would not hold fast to an organization, that we become the gate stoppers instead of the gatekeepers. God, I pray that every man and woman in this place, that there would be a holy fire that resonates in every single one of us. God, I pray that from this place, because I do believe that so much happens in that secret place. God, that we would get a hunger and an insatiable appetite for the secret place. That the secret place is actually the power. The power is in our prayer. The power is in our encounter. The power of what happens on public platforms is a result of private positioning. God, that we would posture our heart to seek your face than seek accolades from anybody else. That we would seek your word more than anybody else's revelation. Oh God, that we would appeal to your nature and who you are, the God of limitless power, limitless Holy Spirit, limitless creative ideas, limitless blueprints for the local church, limitless power, God, limitless miracles, limitless love, limitless anointing. Oh God, you have given us the Spirit without measure. Father God, that we would learn to revel in that and bask in that and marinate in that. And God, that we would not come out unless we are saturated with your anointing. God, I don't want to do anything apart from you. I don't want to do anything, say anything, write anything unless it is from you. And so, God, I thank you for this body of men and women. I thank you for the church at large. I thank you that the holy remnant that stands even here, that is hungering after more for you, God, that together we're better together. Together we would realize that we're on the same team. We're part of one kingdom. And we have one king that is Lord. And that when we just go to him, he has more for each of us than we could ever encounter. God, I thank you for this time together. I pray that you seal the word. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would breathe fire upon your sons and your daughters. God, I pray that we would see a harvest of souls. I want to encourage you, church, that some of you have stopped appealing for souls because you don't get responses. There's a little saying that says, you know, prepare the food or whatever and they will come. I feel like some of you have been more concerned about how it looks when no one responds than actually giving the opportunity regardless. You see, it's not up to us to save people. It's up to the Holy Spirit. But don't ever, ever forfeit an opportunity to see a soul saved, because you never know who's sitting in your pews. See, even that subtlety, because of pride, it forfeits the opportunity for somebody to be saved. If people were about to walk out your church doors and go to hell, literally, you would never have missed an opportunity. And we have to see the times that are dire. And whether somebody responds or not, that's got nothing to do with you and how anointed you are. That's on them with their free will, whether they choose it or not. But they can never say on the other side of eternity, nobody gave me an appeal. And so I just want to challenge you on that too. There's some of you that have forfeited the appeal, thinking that millennials don't respond. Everyone wants the real Jesus. Don't underestimate the power. But if you don't believe it, they won't come. Believe it and they will come. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. Bless this house. Bless this city. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Alex. I needed a come to Jesus meeting, so did they. Another come to Jesus meeting. We're going to post the message on Facebook on our Worship City Alliance page, because there's some pastors that need encouragement. Karen, come. Karen's got a word for you, Alex, and we just want to ask the Lord's blessing on you. As she comes, I heard the Lord say that the word is clean and pure. And it pierces the heart, and it divides and separates. And I sense that that's the vessel that he's made you to be and is making you to be. And we want to anoint you. And just as a father of the city, I want to bless that and ask God to continue to keep this vessel clean and pure. We've all seen how the church goes, the wounds. But Lord, in the name of Jesus, this one's set apart. And I want to ask in Jesus' name for the spirit of wisdom and counsel to walk alongside her. These are entities just like the Holy Spirit. Walk alongside Alex and speak clearly into her ear and give her the counsel that's needed for the days ahead. We seal in Jesus' name the word of God that comes from this vessel in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Karen, bless you, Lord.
Alex, we do bless you here this is a room of leaders, and we do understand everything you're saying because we've all lived it too. But the Lord says that you found and went after the price, the pearl of great price, and you died. And like Song of Solomon, when the bride is saying to the bridegroom, she said, I'm ready, and I'm ready to walk this mountain. And the Lord said that you did say that in your spirit to him, that you said, I'm going to walk this mountain of suffering, the mountain of suffering. You have walked this, it's a circle, but it's not you walking in circles. It's been the pure cycle of God. But you said, I'm ready. And he said, all right, you are now called in heaven, co-crucified. You are called, heaven says, Alex is now called co-crucified. So he has invited you to the top of this mountain. There is a real mountain in Israel called this Amana. But in the spirit, okay, Amana is the word faith in Hebrew, amen. So he said, I've brought you to this place, and you live here now. If you could pull back the natural right now, you would see what heaven sees. You are on this mountain. It is one of the mountain of spices, and you paid the price to get there. You are paying the price. But the Lord said, I've called you to this place. It is where every promise is contained and every promise is realized. And now at the beginning of this year, 2019, you live in this mountain, and you have the ability now to look down, and you're going to live there. It's a very humble place, but a high place. You had to die to get there. It's a place of humility that brought you to this place by the Spirit. There is no program. You can't pay for this. To get there, you die. And that was the payment. You died. But God said you were going to be able to look down this year from the top down, and he said, I'm going to open up. You will see below you. You'll see through the lion's den. You will see the serpents and the scorpions. He said, I have given you power over serpents and scorpions. Serpents can be translated as malicious men and artful men, and you will not be deceived. And I have to say this, God bringing James Gall into your ministry, you and your husband, which I really don't know anything about you, Alex, but that was a gift to you. He is a gift that was brought to you all that really is going to keep order and alignment. No religious spirits are allowed. And God said, you are living in a place called death and humility, but it's power. And then as I end this, there's a lot to this, but I'm going to wrap it up. He said, you now are the land of milk and honey. The land of milk and honey is in you. You're not trying to lead your church there. It's in you. The kingdom is without observation. It's within. But here is the thing that was brought to my spirit. And God says, as Adam was before the fall, you are now the Garden of Eden. When people come into your ministry, and you've got a lot now, but thousands are coming. But he said, every word out of your mouth is milk and honey. They're coming to you. You released milk and honey today. So receive this word, woman of God. You're in a high place called look. And you're going to be able to see the strategies of Satan. And he said, you're on the top, but you're going to go from mountain to mountain, and you'll go down into the valley of service. You will love. The royal law will be seen in you, but you can get quickly back up. He said, come quickly back up to the top of Amana, the crest of trust. Amen and amen.
Extend your hand to her just for a moment. Father, we agree with the word of the Lord. And we bless what God is doing. This is a year of breakthrough for you in many ways. As they move into a new building at the end of the year, and so many things coming against them, we bless these transitions, holy transitions of God. Give her your strength and your power in the name of Jesus.
Mickey, I want you to come here and pray for Alex. I know you've heard of Mickey, you know, but you've never maybe officially met him. He was one of my best friends, and he is, you know, been to heaven and got sent back, and didn't get raised from the dead, but almost did. And I just want him to, as well, to pray for you, and I think I will too, okay?
Father, we just want to come into agreement with your choices. And you brought them here. You've given them three open doors, I think. The first, the second, and the third. And you're on the cusp of this door, this third door. People are coming to you and have been coming to you that they want things crossed out of their life. They hear the word, they want it crossed out of their life. They come and they feel the power of the worship, and they want casualness crossed out of their life. They're trying on their own and they want it crossed out of their life. There's only, you are preaching a word that the only way to cross things out of their life is to be on the cross. Take it to the cross. You're going to preach the gospel in the original intent that this city was birthing a place of revival many, many years ago. That it got muddied, it got soiled, and it got propagated for commercialism. Those days are ending for some. You are going to preach a word that will give people the paid ability that Jesus paid for redemptive purposes, that they'll cross things out of their life. There is a sanctification. There is a restoration. There's a coming back. There's a second wave. There's a second wind for some. I've been asking God for this second wind, and I will have it. But this cusp of this open third door is going to require you to see. And as God has given you this lesson and you preach today about this burden on your neck, there are many that are still at that first phase, are coming to you, come unto me who are weary and heavy laden. You're going to see, how can I take care of so many? It's got to be the return of the message of the personal lordship of Jesus. True disciples follow the voice of the shepherd. Lambs follow sheep, but sheep follow the shepherd. Father, pray for her and Henry and many of those that are comprising the teams that are rising up. Pray, Lord, there be just a greater hearing and a receiving and a responding. We ask for the miracle that sometimes we've only seen it in momentary things. And James and I can testify when the whole group, whether it was a small group or thousands, comprehended with all the saints. There was a oneness of heart. And in that moment, the obedience is so willed by the individuals as well as the corporate. You long to see them just be obedient. So, Father, I really want to pray a personal blessing on her, her family. I think you have a new house somewhere. I mean, from a friend, I think, told us. I think you're out in our neighborhood, actually. I don't know. But, Father, I pray a personal blessing. I know that there's, even though we want to be supernatural, there is regular hard work. The hardest work, Alex, the hardest work I believe I've ever seen any individual of all, of any kind of job, is a local pastor. I believe it's the hardest. It's not to be despised. It is to be embraced and loved. But too much of the hard is because of misunderstanding and misappropriation of responsibility. We want them to be responsible as disciples. You want to make disciples. You don't want attenders. And you don't want to have a hospital. So, Father, we bless her. I bless her and her husband and their family and the circle of covenant friends that they spark with. That they would give them rest, refreshing, and nurture them with fresh manna. And I pray, God, that you would allow her to deliver this mystery of the hidden manna. These special words that you've reserved for such a time as this. We speak a blessing on you, your house, and this third door that's opening. And let it be a light in this city set on a hill. I bless you.
So I'm going to qualify some things before I pray for Alex. People please, we got to really believe that one leader's breakthrough is all of our breakthrough. Otherwise, we are only partnering with religion, because religion lives in insecurity. It compares, it debates, it wars, it fights. It's protective over its own turf. It's opinionated, and it stinks. And we, some years ago, the Holy Spirit showed me that He was offering a blessing and a test. And it's not, yes, it is about them, it's not about them. But their ministry would be a blessing, it would also be a test. And He told me it would be a test to some of you. Be a test to some of you. Would we rejoice in someone else's breakthrough? Would we be threatened by it and insecure and find fault? Because there is no perfect work. But I make an appeal, and I just really make an appeal, that any one of your breakthroughs is our breakthrough. That their breakthrough is our breakthrough. What the Lord did show me years ago was that they would be an answer to prayer, of 30 years of prayer, of faithful intercessors in public and behind the scenes. We each have opportunities to cross over. I have been given a test. She knows it, and it's been hard on them to help put me through a test. It's true, isn't it, Alex? It's true. They've had guts enough and brave enough to say to me, would you just not talk about yourself for a year? Do you hear me? Would you not tell people who you are and your accolades, how many books you wrote? Now, that could sound harsh. I have never said this publicly before. I feel like I need to today. So that was hard for her to say. It was hard for me to receive. And I did it about 90% level. Because when it's in you and you don't know it's in you, you leak. Okay? And this has been a test of entitlement for me. Was I willing to cast my crown before the Lord of the accolades and the history? And would I be willing to let the finger of God show entitlement in me? Well, I deserve to have that special seat. I never pay for attendance to a conference. You know what? That's a bunch of crap. Oh, gosh, I said it, didn't I? Because it is. It just is. And so I want to build on what this dear friend said. I give you an invitation to cross over. The Lord Himself gives us an invitation in a transition year. 2020 will be a year of enormous harvest. But for us to go through to the enormous harvest, we each have the opportunity to go through the eye of a needle all over again. I am not still through it, but I say yes to the process. God, I cannot let this go. I want you just to please, I beg you in behalf of the kingdom of God. I beg you in behalf of who we are supposed to be in Christ. Would we give a cry of desperation unto the Lord that it would be, as John the Baptist said, less of me and more of him? Even to the forerunners, less of me and more of him. And so I also, I want you to stand back up. I cannot make your cry. I can cry for myself, but I still feel it's not totally complete yet. I want us to, I give an invitation to lift a cry to the Lord to change us, that we could cross over by grace. So do business with God right now, still for a moment, please. Just please. This is a golden invitation to cross over into more of him and less of me. Lord, we thank you. We receive the word of the Lord, but we also receive the messengers that you have sent to us. We lay aside as much as light as we currently have, competition, criticism, and jealousy. And we make an appeal that we in this city, we want to be known for love, authentic love. We want to be known for a culture of honor. And we want to be known as a place where we pray for one another. And we thank you. I bless, in Jesus' name, Henry and Alex Seeley, who gave up what they knew to come to a city where they knew no one. And we each have been given a model today to look upon that we have each looked upon at times in our past. But we are given this model to look upon freshly today. And we say, we count all things as but rubbish in comparison to knowing Christ, him crucified, and him risen from the dead. And we are calling forth for a spirit of resurrection to hit the body of Christ in this region. Raise up as Jesus prayed for Lazarus. We make an intercession for the body of Christ in this region that there will be an amazing miracle, that the body of Christ will be raised from the dead. And so we bless and we pray a hedge of protection around Alex and Henry, upon their two children, upon their amazing staff, upon their hopes and their dreams. And I declare, no thief will be able to steal the dream that God has put in your heart. Because this is not your dream. It is God's dream. And you are but a steward. But you are a steward of a measure of God's dream. And when God's dream is put within a person, that is the dream that does not return void. But that is the dream that grows and grows and grows and grows, because God's dream is not static. God's dream is not stagnant. God's dream is alive and it is active, because God's dream is contained in his word and in his worm. In his word, there is contained the dream of God. So I declare over you, God makes you into a Joseph in this company of people. God makes you into a Joseph, even in this nation. And there will be a time where God will make you, as it were, even a Joseph company of people. And there will be a multicolored mantle that will be put upon you of the renaissance of transformation. But you understand, unlike some, the transformation begins in the heart. The transformation is not as much about repairing societal structures first, but it is about the inner transformation of a man and of a woman. And when a man and a woman have been truly transformed, they then become sent ones. They then become salt and light. They become sent ones. And I declare that the Lord is putting a robe, a garment of favor, of renaissance transformation. Of renaissance transformation. And even this very property that you have acquired and that the Lord is truly giving to you and that the Lord is going to pay off. I declare that it is going to be a transformation zone. It is going to be a dream center. It is going to be a place that is going to affect, as it were, a 10-block radius, where there is going to be the poor will be fed, where the hungry will receive manna from heaven, where the poor will be healed, even in worship, where no man will even have to lay hands upon another, but it will be the hand of God that descends in the place where two or three are gathered in my name. There I am in their midst. And it will, so it will be, and it will not be just for you, but it will be a model that is being raised up. That yes, the people will come and they will look at, but they will go, I don't get it this time. What is the model? What is the model? Where is the equation? And man will go and they will say, I cannot find the equation, but I find God. But I find God. And this time, in the jealousy of God, in the coming move that is readily upon us, it will not be that man will go to this city. It will go to that city. It will go to this tribe. It will go to that stream to learn a model. But they will go to find the Messiah. And when they find the Messiah, they will learn about modeling the life of the Messiah versus the equations of success. So I bless you to be ambassadors of a Joseph company that raises up transformational understandings that begins with the transformation of one man, one child, one woman's heart. That they in turn become sent ones in Jesus' name. Amen.